We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Sedroik, joined by Chris Owen for game week 24 in the Premier League. We got three games on the slate that we're talking about, and we're finishing up with a team parlay. Chris, you're coming off a successful, 3-1 weekend in game week 23. It's coming off some success, so let's see if you can back it up.
Yeah, good. It was a get-right week last week. Good to get a couple bets, hitting. We had a tough week the prior, probably 2 weeks. So we're back in the mix here. I forget which bet I missed on the last one, but, hit a couple. I think it might've been the Arsenal Liverpool game, but, yeah, we're back. And, we got a huge week. We got a little 7-2-1, 7 games Saturday, 2 games Sunday, and 1 game Monday. It's a huge weekend for world football. We got also the AFCON final. We got the Asian Cup final. And then on top of that, I think Real Madrid plays Girona, and then Bayern Leverkusen and Bayern Munich also. So, if you're a fan of sitting on the couch and watching soccer, this weekend could be the weekend for you.
You mentioned the Super Bowl, but...
Yeah, I mean, all right. So if you love American football, a little something called the old Super Bowl on Sunday. So get a big coffee started up on Sunday morning for a couple games, maybe get some takeout. I don't know. Maybe you got a big food spread ready, but whatever you got to do. But if you're a big fan of sitting on the couch and watching sports, this could be a good weekend for you. And
are you a takeout guy the day before the Super Bowl?
The day before or the day of?
The day before, you're mentioning takeout. I'm just wondering. I feel like I got to fast the day before the Super Bowl so, I can eat everything that's available to me during the Super Bowl.
That's a good point. I think what you do, I'm a big fan of eating, as frequently as possible, as much as possible. So I'm more of maybe mix in a little cardio in the morning. And then
there you go. Do some push-ups.
Yeah, a couple more just the calorie burns. It's not about strength training. I'm just trying to clear space. So maybe a little fast in the morning, just strictly coffee till about 11 or noon. And then
that's good for you.
And then you start to fill it up and you start to graze. You get a little fat and sassy. Maybe some beers come around later in the day too. So that's kind of the program I'm on. And I don't know. I'm solo this weekend. So my significant other is gone for the weekend. So this might be I'm hitting some takeout. I don't know if we'll see.
You're definitely not going to be fasting is what we'll say.
Yeah, no. Frequent beers, frequent food. Not a whole lot for me.
For the bets last week, I looked it up. So because, we forgot what we talked about exactly a week ago, but you did have Arsenal first goal. Of course, right. The one game we missed on was Manchester United and West Ham, because Manchester United got the 3 goals and the win, except West Ham racked up the shots and racked up the corners.
That's right. I think I missed that by a few. Race to 5 corners? Or
you had raced to 7.
7, okay.
And I had Manchester United over 19 shots.
Yeah, and they had like seven or something. It was low.
I hope they had more than that, but okay. I don't know. You think they had like seven shots from three goals? I don't know. 12 shots they got too.
Okay. It was low in the first half, and then they like kind of started racking them up in the second half.
Unbelievable. What a result. What a result. But we got other games here we're talking about. We have a relegation battle. We got a game between struggling teams. We got a game between no Michael Olise and Eze against Chelsea in Monday Night Football. So we got a couple interesting things. We're skipping Sunday this week. We got two on Saturday because there's seven games on Saturday. And this relegation battle between two promoted sides. Luton Town, our home against Sheffield United. Luton Town are up to minus 130, which is we can't look at the numbers before the season because, you know, probably there weren't even numbers before the season. But if this game happened before the season, these odds would be, I don't know, maybe we're looking at Luton Town plus 150 to win and Sheffield United plus 180. You got to think it would be much closer. But we're getting Luton Town minus 130 to win, Sheffield United plus 360. The draw is plus 285. And then we can do over 2.5 goals, minus 125, under 2.5 goals, plus 100. Luton Town may be one of the more impressive teams, at least over the last month or two here. Just got a point at Newcastle, 4-4 was that result. They're still kind of battling above the relegation zone. They are. What are they? They're 1 point above Everton, who are in 18th place. So not out of the woods yet. Speaking of woods, we got Nottingham Forest coming up. But Chris, are we riding the Luton Town wave here against Sheffield United, who looked incompetent against Aston Villa last weekend?
Yeah, two things. That point they got at Newcastle, Luton got, was, I think they would consider it a disappointing point. They were up 4-2, I think, with 20 minutes left or so.
Well, Harvey Barnes, you don't want to mess with that coming off the bench.
Definitely not. But yeah, like, I mean, you're up two goals. You think you're going to pull away a huge 3 points away from home. Ends up 4-4. I mean, good draw for them, but still, if you're in that situation, you'd think that you would be able to grab 3 points and maybe sit in a bit. But yeah, I mean, other than that, they've been doing well outside of that. They beat, I mean, looking back, they didn't play too far. They played on Boxing Day, Sheffield United and Luton Town, and that was 3-2 to Luton Town. Luton was away, so they faced each other, you know, a little over probably 6 weeks ago, so they're pretty familiar. Since then, you know, Luton lost to Chelsea at home. Otherwise, they drew Burnley. They beat the doors off Brighton. That was maybe 2 weeks, about a month ago. No, a week ago.
We did talk about that game. We both hit that game, whatever our bets were.
If I could read a calendar, that would be good. But that was on January 30th. They won that one 4-0, and then 4-4 recently here against Newcastle. So Luton's been playing great, you know, and good for them. I wanted to take Luton again here. Sheffield United looked like, I think it was Robbie Earle on NBC's coverage who said after that recent Sheffield game where they were not great. He's like, there's 20 teams in the Premier League and one team looks like they shouldn't be competing here. And that's Sheffield United. So I thought that was pretty damaging after they lost 5-0 at home. But I thought about Luton Town money line to start, you know, they're minus 130 at home. Given their form, you might consider that. I kind of moved off that. You also have Luton double chance and over 2.5 is another one I considered. That's minus 110, but ultimately I'm just going to bang on the over 2.5. It's minus 125 is what I got this week. But also, if you know, and it took a lot of my being here, I've been trying to go a little bit bigger on these bets and try to hit some plus odds more so than the minus odds. I didn't quite have the bravery for that this week, but the over 3.5 is plus 205 in this game, which is kind of intriguing given the things that I just said. I said, you know, Sheffield lost to Aston Villa 5-0 last time out. They lost to Crystal Palace previous game 3-2. They had a 2-2 draw with West Ham. Got, you know, pretty well worked against Man City. That was 2-0, so didn't hit the over. But and then the match before that was 3-2. So there's been a ton of goals in their games. already mentioned the amount of goals in Luton with a 4-4 and a 4-0 prior to that. So if you really think you think there's going to be some goals here, think about that over 3.5 at +205. My biggest concern is, can Sheffield United find the back of the net? But, you know, Adam's got his favorite forward in the league here, Ollie McBurnie. So if you believe in him like Adam does, maybe you take that over.
If he's ready to start, he was out last week with some calf issue.
Okay. Did you look at the Ollie McBurnie anytime goal scoring odds in your bet, or did that come into play?
That was not in not in my thinking. I'm just trying to look back to see what the exact date when Chris Wilder took over, because I thought it was December, right?
Yeah, wasn't it right before that Liverpool match?
Yeah, it was. Okay, they lost 5-0 at Burnley. Yeah. I'm just thinking, I thought they kind of turned a corner a little bit for a few games, and you see here they won. They beat Brentford. They played Liverpool, turned played at Chelsea. They got, but they drew 1-1 at Aston Villa. So, you know, I thought they were, turned a corner.
They've taken 5 points total in like eight games since they hired him. What do you mean
they
turned a corner?
Almost should have won.
They
beat Brentford first off, and they
good response.
Probably should have won at Aston Villa, who at the time who had just beat Man City and Arsenal at home, and they almost beat Aston Villa at Villa Park. Aston Villa got a 97th minute goal in that. So yeah, I do think you can say
they've given up at least 2 goals in 6 of their 9 matches.
No, that's what I'm getting to. They turned a corner for like 4 matches, and then all of a sudden they fell apart again, is what I'm saying.
4 matches? They have 5 points in 8 matches.
You know what?
I don't think they've hit another corner, you know? Like
they turned a corner for a few matches. It was the new manager bump, and then they're like, actually, this guy kind of sucks. So we're going to start losing again.
They got to the corner and turned it and ran into a big brick wall.
There's just a bunch of not so pleasant results here for them. Who knows how they're going to line up? I mean, after how they looked against Aston Villa, are they going to line up the same way? I don't know. We'll see who's starting here. They added Ivo Gerbich from Atletico Madrid's bench, and he picked up a concussion, I think, in his second game. But he's not going to be ready for this one. It just it's kind of the state of the team. You know, they add a secondary goalkeeper from La Liga, and he's automatically their starter. Then he actually gets hurt. Mason Holgate in his first start with the club, 5-0. And probably what are we seeing? The first player ever to 5-0 starts, 5-0 losses in one season with 2 different team debuts. Cause I think he had that with Southampton earlier in the season, but I mean, you just can't back Sheffield United in this spot. Maybe this is the bounce back for Sheffield United, but technically we could be saying that all season. I think the one thing,
bounce back opportunities.
We talked about Luton Town 10 or so days ago, and we were both on Luton Town playing at home. And before that match, Tom Lockyer came out and like basically pumped the crowd up, and maybe they should just do that every home game. Just, Lockyer's here. Let's pump it. Let's amp everyone up. And they came out and just dominated Brighton from the start in that 4-0 win. I mean, maybe you don't need them. Maybe you don't need to use Lockyer in this spot. But either way, I am kind of thinking some goals similar to you. You have over 2.5 goals at -125. You know, it could be, again, it could be just Luton Town scoring. You may not even have to worry about Sheffield United. But I went a little lighter with that. I got a nice little single game parlay. So I got Luton Town money line with over 1.5 goals, and that's +125 or +115 there. So the question is, how much do you like Luton Town to win? And I'll say my bet's better than yours is what I'll say. What do you think about that?
I'll give you the nod for that one. That is, I mean, your numbers are better. You're also playing on the money line, which I just didn't get into, but I love the money line bet here. I mean, no team in the EPL has less points away from home than Sheffield. They've taken 2 points away from home. They've lost 9 matches, haven't won a single game away from home this season. So I think it's smart to take Luton, you know, despite them being, you know, relatively close in the table, obviously. But yeah, I I am like slight regrets that I don't have a money line aspect for Luton in my bet, but I think you've got the over 1.5, which is a pretty safe play in terms of what's going to happen here. I think there's been at least 2 goals for each team in probably at least the last 5 matches, if not more. I do like your bet more here, but I'm a little weary of the third goal. I think the 2 goals should be a problem.
You can get a little better if you even go a little safer. Luton Town double chance and over 2.5 is -110. So if you want a few more, if you're under the assumption Sheffield United are not going to come out and win, you could throw Luton Town double chance into yours and get a little better odds as well. I was going to say Sheffield United have a -21 goal differential in 11 away matches this season, which isn't very good. Granted, they also are -19 at home in 12 home matches. So it's they're good anywhere. So
they've given up 28 goals in 11 matches away from home. So not very good defensively.
Last for a reason is what we'll say.
Yes. Yes.
Next game, we got the standalone Saturday match, and it's pretty intriguing, I'd say. Nottingham Forest are home. They're +230 to win. Newcastle are +110. The draw is +275. Just looking at the odds page over at RotoWire, we can see at some point about a week ago, the odds were Newcastle -120, and I'm not sure what happened, but they've kind of gone in Nottingham Forest's favor. So now they're +110. Nottingham Forest were +300 to win. Now they're +230 to win. So a pretty interesting line movement there. The over 2.5 goals is -150. Under 2.5 is +120. These teams also met, I think it was Boxing Day, at the end of December there when Chris Wood had his revenge game hat trick. I want to say Newcastle scored first, and then Chris Wood just put it on, and Nottingham Forest won at Newcastle, which was maybe one of the more surprising results of the season, given how well Newcastle play at home this season. So looking at some of these lineups, we don't really have a ton of new things happening. Callum Wilson able to start again because he just returned from his injury, but Anthony Gordon picked up an injury of his own in the process. So I think one of the first times all season, Anthony Gordon's going to be out. So maybe that's a factor here. But Nottingham Forest getting pretty healthy. The big news would be Taiwo Awoniyi is ready to start again. I think he started last week in his first start in a few months for him. So Nottingham Forest, can they get the win here? Another win. Can Nottingham Forest get 6 points against Newcastle, which, I don't know, would sound crazy if we said that, I don't know, before the first match between them.
Yeah, no, totally. I my initial reaction was like, how is Nottingham Forest +230? Like, I thought it would be closer to maybe like +300, +350. And initially when I saw the money line at home, I mean, Newcastle obviously having a bit of a, you know, they're not as good as they are last season. A big part of that has been due to injuries. They're going to be missing Anthony Gordon. Joel Linton looks like he's out. I mean, their marquee signing has been suspended all season. So they're missing some guys. The back line is, you know, it looks like it's pretty much fully fit now. They're still missing Nick Pope with the shoulder injury. So, I mean, they're missing a couple guys. Is Isak out too? I don't know if I saw that correctly.
Isak's out, yep.
Okay, Isak's out. So they're missing probably 4 to 5 starters out of their starting 11. Colin Wilson, you know, obviously good up top. He had a great season last year. But yeah, I was interested to see that Nottingham Forest did play in the midweek. They had a FA Cup match. I forget who it was against, but I think it went to penalties.
And Bristol City.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, good, heartwarming win for them there, but, Matt Turner to the hero after what he's been having a pretty big struggle bus over the last like month or so. So good for him. But yeah, I was initially like, why the heck is Nottingham Forest, you know, I guess they're still pretty big underdogs, but why aren't they bigger underdogs? But then you look at the table, and we just talked about Sheffield United being one of the worst team away from home in the league. And then you go a couple places down here, and surprisingly, we always talk about how good Newcastle is at home. Away from home, they've been not good. They have 8 points in 11 matches away from home. They've won 2 games and drawn 2, and then they've lost 7 other games. I did say that, you know, injuries has played a big part in that, and their back line is a little bit better, but I initially was like, wow, like, can we get a double chance bet? I looked at a couple double chance and over bets for a same game parlay that I think are interesting. So if you wanted to, I'm not going to go that for my bet here, but if you wanted to, you can get a Nottingham Forest double chance and over 1.5, that's -120. If you think that you're like, all right, Newcastle's not been great away from home and you want to go a little bit more on the goals, you go Nottingham Forest and double chance, or I'm sorry, Nottingham Forest double chance and over 2.5 at +170. I'm going to steer clear of those, although I am intrigued by those. I'm going to take a page out of the Adam book here and go on an over 5.5 corners bet. It's -120. You look at the handy dandy RotoWire cheat sheet, and you can find we have the corners conceded. Sheffield United, actually, I believe they concede the most amount of corners in the league. That changes a bit when they're at home, so bear that in mind. I don't think they're ranked quite as high there, but they're conceding a ton of corners. And I do, just given the fact that Newcastle has, you know, full back line, a couple guys, you know, I feel like they'll be able to apply the pressure here and get at least 6 corners, I'm hoping, so that this bet will hit. But did you consider corners better? Did you go a different direction here?
I don't know how many corners I looked at this week. I can't remember. I just know in the past I've lost multiple Newcastle corner bets this season because they haven't been getting as many as last season. So I think that I just didn't bother looking at it because I didn't want to deal with another Newcastle corners bet. So that's why I didn't consider it. But I mean, yours makes sense. We don't think Nottingham Forest are going to have, I don't know, more than 40% possession. Let's see what they had last game. But I was going to bring up, not Newcastle have actually won their last 3 away matches, which I think deserves a shout just because of their road record for the season is the same as Burnley's, but they just won at Aston Villa. They got the win at Fulham in the FA Cup, and they also won at Sunderland in the FA Cup, which was arguably a pretty big win for them given the derby there. But let me pull up this last game here. And yeah. So it was 3-1. Isak got the goal in the 23rd minute. 62% possession in that one. 10 corners for them, 2 for Nottingham Forest. So I think the possession numbers will be the same. I don't know if, you know, Nottingham Forest will be at 3.46 XG again like that one. But we saw Dan Byrne get roasted by Igbene last game. We'll see how he does against probably Anthony Elanga. On that right side for Nottingham Forest there. So I think that is one interesting part where at some point, you know, playing a 6-6 regular center back at left back for, you know, the last 2 seasons, it comes back to bite you at times. And Igbene from Luton Town kind of torched Dan Byrne last week. But because of that and because of some of Newcastle's struggles away from home and Nottingham Forest, I'm still unsure about their defense and their team in general. I think both these teams can score on the spot. We saw them both score in the first meeting. I'm kind of going heavy here, but I got over 3.5 goals at +165. I just think both teams are going to be able to score. Nottingham Forest, we know Chris Wood got the hat trick last game, but Awani is a better player than Chris Wood. They're also pretty healthy, maybe somewhat worried about guys like Morgan Gibbs-White going 120 minutes on Wednesday. But other than that, I mean, they're starting Omo Bami Dele, who is basically a championship-level center back. And I think that, you know, comes back to get them at times. And then we throw in Harvey Barnes off the bench available for Newcastle again. So they actually have a real attacker coming off the bench, which wasn't the case for so long there. So Almiron, Murphy, Callum Wilson now as well. So maybe at least someone off the bench room. So I think there's going to be goals. You're thinking corners, but do you also think there's going to be goals in this one?
Yeah, I mean, we just saw a 4-4 all-time classic between Luton and Newcastle. And I mean, you mentioned there's been the last away match for Newcastle. They, you know, surprising win over Aston Villa 3-1. And then, you know, a couple other games that have been away too. So yeah, but I guess the over 3.5 goals is, you know, is it a bridge too far? I'm not quite sure, but it's certainly an interesting bet, and I appreciate that you hit that instead of the 2.5.
What, the -150?
Yeah, we can't give out -150.
What, do you think I'm an idiot? It.
There's going to be 4 goals, no doubt about it. You know, so that's a healthy number.
I don't know. It might. I'm gonna say let's go 3-3. You know, 4-4 last week. Let's do 3-3. We'll do just two goals lower there.
And they just bring on Gio Reyna to burn Dan Byrne or what?
Yeah, let's say that.
You would probably put on the left maybe, but I don't know.
Really, I mean, anyone can go on that. I mean, as I said, I knew Dan Byrne was big, but I looked up his height this week and it was just like, man, he got 6'6 left back here.
He's a bigger lad, that's for sure. There's not many 6'6 guys in the EPL either, so
yeah,
he's got to be like one of. I can't think about anyone else who's that sizable, but
I'm sure there's some goalkeepers that are 6'8 or something.
Yeah. I feel like Edouard Mendy when he was on Chelsea was at least 6'6.
Maybe he's playing in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, maybe
Dan Byrne's future.
Yeah, that's a, you know, that could be a good trivia question that we'll have to bring up later. Is how many 6 or 6'5 plus players are in the EPL?
That's one thing RotoWire doesn't have. We don't have heights in the stat pages, so that part is we don't have that. So sorry to everyone following RotoWire, we don't have that one.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The next game we're talking about, though, we got Monday Night Football. And this is it exciting? It's a game, is what I'll say. And the line movement here between Crystal Palace and Chelsea it's going to be one of the bigger line movements that you'll probably see over the course of 1 week. So basically, over the past week, we got news. Okay, everyone knows about Michael Olise going on for 10 minutes or whatever off the bench, down 3-0 last week, re-injured his hamstring. So he's out. Eberechi Eze also out with a hamstring injury. So 1 week ago, plus 235, Crystal Palace were to win. They are currently plus 350 to win. That is a pretty big line movement given, you know, 1 week of time here. Chelsea, they are currently minus 135 to win. That was a week ago. That was plus 110 to win. Now they are minus 135 to win at Crystal Palace. The draw is at plus 300. Kind of like the draw, actually, a little bit here, plus 300. Over 2.5 goals, minus 125. Under 2.5 goals, plus 100. So I told you before the show, you got the square bet. You got the recency bias bet. It's all about recency bias. Been talking about that a little bit because of the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs looking good in the playoffs. 49ers not looking good, so people are going to the Chiefs. All that recency bias talk. But Crystal Palace, I should mention Mark Gahey, one of their top center backs is also out. So he's out. But Chelsea, they won. They kind of dominated, or they at least looked really well, really good at Aston Villa on Wednesday, which surprised me, probably surprised a lot of other people as well. But they got Nkunku back. He did not start midweek, so that's a positive for him starting this one. Nicholas Jackson started in that one. They're pretty healthy. I mean, they got a pretty big injury list, but a lot of these guys, this isn't like the Newcastle injury list. This is a lot of backups outside of, okay, Reece James kind of a thing. Otherwise, mostly backups that are injured. So they got a pretty good squad here. So my question to you, Chris, do you think Wednesday's game matters at all? Do you think they're going to be too cocky because, you know, they look good in one game? How many games this season have Chelsea played solid in back-to-back games? I'm not sure it's been too many this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. There's like getting any level of consistency out of Chelsea has been, you know, pretty much impossible. Pochettino seemed, I mean, great win over Aston Villa in the FA Cup. That was away from home, I believe, in the midweek. So that certainly helps him. But I feel like I was seeing, you know, a couple sound bites. So take that for what it is. But he seemed especially agitated this week and, you know, maybe feeling the pressure of like, okay, I got a 200 billion, you know, nearly $1 billion squad here that is a mid-table team. But I will say you mentioned Crystal Palace's injury list. And Adam, two parts here. Adam called my bet before the show a square bet via Slack. And I said, you know, if you're gonna call my bet a square bet, then at least do it, you know, chirp me on the show here. So let's see what he's got to rebuttal. But my bet is Chelsea money line and over 1.5 goals. It's +110. You're getting plus odds. Two things to note is Chelsea have beaten Crystal Palace 13 straight matches. One of those was in the FA Cup match. So they've beaten them 12 straight matches in the Premier League. So that's nothing to scoff at. If you think that's a square bet, you know, fair game. But the other part of that is Crystal Palace are going to be missing, you know, Adam's got it pulled up on here on rotowire.com. But Eze's out. Michael Olise's out. I think you mentioned they're missing a defender as well. Like they two of their two key players in Olise and Eze are out, and they account for 11 of their goals. Crystal Palace has what, like 20 something goals this season? They have 26 goals, so they're missing at least a third of their goals from their attacking output. Chelsea, yes, you know, no level of consistency, but you know, that's nothing. 13 straight wins over a team is, I would call that domination. So do you still think it's a square bet that, considering you know, Chelsea or Crystal Palace is missing their two key players, if not three key players, and Chelsea's domination?
Yeah, I think that's the definition here of square bet, because we got the recency bias, we got this line movement. So the squares are looking at the line movement and they're taking the obvious route. So Chelsea money line are the obvious route. So that's why it's a square bet.
Yeah, but you know, but we're tacking on an easy over 1.5 goals, so maybe the plus odds.
Easy, easy. All right. I don't know. Is it easy?
It's Eze.
Easy.
Yeah.
I think this is an awesome Roy Hodgson spot, because he was absolutely ridiculed for putting in Michael Olise last week. After halftime, they're down 3-0. Yeah. This guy coming back from injury, put him on, got injured 10 minutes later. And, you know, he came on, he was like, you know, the physio said he could go 45. And then it's like, well, why he start if you go 45? There's a lot of questions in that. But I feel like we've seen this kind of over the years here with Crystal Palace, where, okay, some of their best players are out. They just make the game extremely ugly and somehow find a result some way, somehow. Let me pull up. I think I was thinking similar. Crystal Palace were home against Liverpool. It was basically the same situation. They're home against Liverpool December 9th. They ended up losing 2-1 in that game. Liverpool needed a 91st minute goal from Harvey Elliott, and Salah also got one in the 76th minute. Mateta got one 57th minute. So
it was a penalty.
Okay. Got a PK. But yeah, that's just kind of what I want to bring up here. It's like, okay, well, it's obvious that, okay, Crystal Palace don't have their best players, so let's just play this Chelsea team who, you know, have been more inconsistent than everyone else in the league. So I think this is going to be, I don't know, we could say this with every Crystal Palace game, so maybe it's not going to be low scoring. But either way, my bet is not related to the over-under. I'm actually going corners here. And my corner, it was, I think, +150 maybe earlier in the week, but Crystal Palace raced to 5 corners, +170. So they're at home. Seems like a lot of corners to get without Olise, without Eze in the lineup. But Jordan Ayew is a workhorse in the attack. They also have a healthy Mateta, healthy Edward. They could actually start both those guys. We'll see, but I'm still unsure about, okay, they started Daniel Munoz, newcomer at right back last game. Adam Wharton came on for Gahee last game as well. We could see Chris Richards as a center back. We'll see how that lines out, but I mean, the good news is, okay, Jefferson Lerma is healthy and available in the midfield, so that's a boost. Pretty much, you know, they have some big injuries, but some key pieces in the midfield are available, and IU and Lerma are in there. So I think it's still in range that we could see, one, Crystal Palace put up a fight, and two, let's hope they get to five corners first. I'm maybe doubting my bet a little bit as I'm talking about it here, but I think I kind of like a race to three a little more, but let's just do a race to five, plus 170.
That's fair. I mean, I just can't get over the fact that they're missing, you know, half their attacking force here. I mean, Edward's solid, but and IU, you know, a utility guy through and through, but I just, yeah, I could see where the five corners, I guess, it's all going to be on the counter, though. I feel like Roy is going to have those boys just like playing, you know, eight at the back and asking Jordan IU to basically chase balls up top.
Crystal Palace had 23% possession and two corners in the first half against Liverpool. And then they actually finished that game with more corners than Liverpool. They had six corners. I didn't mention IU also got sent off in the 75th minute. So, I mean, if Crystal Palace can get corners at home against Liverpool, down a man for the final 15, 20 minutes, why can't they do that against Chelsea, who have plenty of issues of their own, even though they're coming off a win?
Let's just see.
Let's just see. Chris's was single game parlay. He's got Chelsea money line and over 1.5 goals. That's plus 110. I got Crystal Palace race to five corners. Let's get into our team. Yeah.
Yeah. A quick note before we move to our team parlay is this show has quickly become edges and shapes in wagers. You know, we've got square bets. We've got, you know, Adam turning a corner. I don't know how we can incorporate another shape into this last team parlay, but let's see what happens.
What's the word for a team parlay? It's not bounce back. Getting on the right track.
It's the get right parlay.
Get right parlay. I don't know. You use that for something already.
The down bad parlay. I don't know.
Bad parlay. This at this point last year, I gave you the suggestion of just stopping our team parlay because it was really struggling. At least for the last 5 weeks, either I've hit one and you haven't hit one, or you hit one and I haven't hit one. So
we're giving good bets. Like we're, you know, if you're taking standalone bets, they're good bets, but. Together.
So the team parlay, I won't say how much we're down, but we're gonna turn a corner here at some point.
Let's ride a wave. Let's call it ride the wave.
We're gonna both hit a bet at some point in the future, and then we're gonna ride that wave, and we're gonna start stringing along 2, 3, 4 team parlays in a row. Are we gonna start this week? Maybe. Chris, you're talking about this Tottenham Brighton match. They're just getting a lot of guys back here. Tottenham are in – it's crazy all of a sudden how deep Tottenham are. They get Son back. They have Kulishevsky, who didn't start last week. They got Basuma back as well in the midfield. They're suddenly a deep team, and they don't have European play to worry about. So Tottenham home against Brighton, who actually also just lost João Pedro. I think their leading scorer to a hamstring injury.
Yeah, I think I had a Tottenham. Well, we talked about the Tottenham Everton game last week. That hit. I had the over 1.5. You know, Tottenham very attacking side. I was like, that seems like quite an easy bet to hit. Turns out it was. I'm back on Tottenham again this week. I'm like, you know, hook it in here and let me ride this Tottenham wave. You mentioned how healthy they are, how deep they are. I think the only like potential like player who would, you know, play a part. Is questionable is Giovanni Lo Celso, and he's probably maybe coming off the bench anyways. So they're fully fit. I love what the, you know, we saw to start the season, I think they won what, like their first six matches under Big Ange. So we saw what they can do when they're fully fit. And you know, obviously here they're, it's a, you know, decent little matchup here. I think overall, if you wanted to look at goals, you could, but I'm strictly on Tottenham money line here. I think they continue to ride the wave. They've got, you know, when you look at their starting 11, one of the strongest starting 11s in the Prem. They're minus 130, so just on that cusp of being a serviceable bet. So I'm slamming that, and they're at home. Brighton, I think, coming off, they're maybe not doing as well. I guess they beat Palace, but yeah, I'm all over Tottenham money line here. I think you see Son also coming back, maybe coming off the bench. I didn't even talk about that, but they're fully fit. They got a front. Starting 11 is one of the best, so I like them at home. And you know, Brighton, a tough side, always set up well, but I think that they can pull it out here.
Yeah, this is. I didn't want to look at this match. I think it's kind of hard to project. That Tottenham got those two goals, but they finished with less than one XG. And again, Everton racked up XG. They got that late equalizer, but they finished with 2.62 in that game. It was a pretty fun game, as we said, a pretty fun game to expect in that one. I think this one will be interesting, just because Tottenham getting some guys back. They still had some issues last week. Brighton have really been at full strength for the majority of the season. Haven't really been playing that well, but I'm not going to take Brighton money line. So. Yeah, Tottenham money line makes sense. I'm going with the Aston Villa Manchester United match. I just had to look at the over under for this one. So over 2.5 goals is -190, and the over 3.5 goals is +135. My bet is going to be both teams to score no draw +105. These teams played about a week, month ago. It was, I think, Aston Villa scored 2 in the first half, and then Manchester United scored 3 in the second half, and won that one. But most relevant here is, Aston Villa had a lot of success at home earlier in the season. I think they're coming off a couple losses now. They came off that loss midweek against Chelsea. They came off a loss against whatever team we were just talking about, Newcastle. They lost that Newcastle match. They also have Ezri Konsa out, who has been starting at right back because he's just a better defender than Matty Cash. Matty Cash starts on Wednesday. They lose. They give up 3 goals at home against Chelsea. So I think there's another weakness in the back line here. In addition to a guy like Tyrone Mings being out for the season. But I think there's just going to be goals in this one. And I think one of these teams is going to win. Maybe I lean Aston Villa, but Manchester United are playing well enough that I'm just going to say no draw here instead of picking a side. And I think either one of these teams could win 2-1, 3-2 kind of a thing. But I just think there's going to be goals. We know about Manchester United allowing goals. Aston Villa have been having some problems of late. So Aston Villa, Manchester United, both teams to score no draw is +105. Parlay that with Spurs money line -135. We're getting +256 odds. Are you thinking goals in the Villa Man United match, Chris?
Could be. I'm a little concerned about Villa's recent home form, but I guess they can turn it around here. United all of a sudden look like. We were talking about Chelsea being a pretty inconsistent team. Man United fits right in that narrative as well. Good win for them last week, and they're getting great contributions from their young players. Like Kobe Mino has been really good. Casper is Holland. How do you say it? The Norwegian, or he's Danish.
Rasmus Højlund.
Yeah, he's been solid. Fine in the back of that. I think he had a goal and assist last weekend. And then Garnacho was good too. So they've got some young guys starting to contribute, and I feel like that's the key of any healthy club. So I don't know, Villa at home. You're expecting goals here and the no draw. I think Villa, maybe turn it back around here at home.
Maybe Unai Emery bounce back right there. So here we go. Team parlay winner coming right at you, Chris. What do we got? This is the first time in a long time we haven't talked about Liverpool, but they're home against Burnley and Manchester United home against Everton. Who's more likely to drop points, Liverpool or Manchester City?
Is City at home or is...
Both Liverpool and Manchester City are at home.
I think it's 3 points for both teams, honestly. I think City win in the early slate. They go top of the table. And then Liverpool plays Burnley. They win again. They also win. And then, you know, City still have that that game in hand here. But, Everton, I don't know. Burnley doesn't offer much, and neither does Everton. There was an interesting stat on the Athletic podcast about City. They've given up, I think it's like on an opponent's first shot of the game, they've given up a goal in like 12, in 12 games this season. So crazy.
All right.
So like it happened on the first opportunity against Brentford this past weekend, where I think it was who scored, but
Mbappe.
Like
first shot. You know who scored. It was Neil Mbappe.
I'm honestly on the Mbappe bandwagon. I love that guy. He's always like riling up opponents and the
James fights
Skelly in his face, like at you know, turned into crap for him because they lost. But I love the demeanor he brings to the pitch. But now I think we're gonna see both City and Liverpool pick up 3 points.
Chris, the people are wondering, can Liverpool win without Connor Bradley?
The people being yourself or I think so. I mean, he might be back this weekend.
He's not back again.
Damn.
They're giving him as much time as possible.
That's fair. His father passed away last week. So I mean, fair game for him. He's a pretty young kid too. So like, you know, good to give him a little time to figure that out. And obviously, you pop in Trent Alexander-Arnold at right back is, you know,
he's okay.
He's fine, but yeah, it's got to be a good bounce back for them after they got absolutely cranked at Arsenal. Arsenal overran them and looked the better side for pretty much all 90 minutes. So it'll be a good bounce back for them, and we'll see who starts in the midfield. Sounds like Thiago played 40 minutes or whatever against Arsenal, and now he's out for the season. So that should be interesting. I love the guy, but might have played his last match for Liverpool.
All right, one last thing before we go. I pulled up the height in the Premier League, and this must be like a third, fourth-string Chelsea goalkeeper. Lucas Bergstrom is the tallest player in the league, but basically the tallest player who actually plays is Dan Byrne at 201 centimeters. We got Fraser Forster, Bayern Deer, Manchester United's backup goalkeeper, Wayne Hennessy, Burnley's backup goalkeeper, Nick Pope. So we're looking at the next field player to be within Dan Byrne's range is center back for Fulham, Tosin Adarabio, Christopher Ajer, and then Tyrone Mings are next in line to 5 centimeters shorter than Dan Byrne. So Dan Byrne wins the title for tallest player who actually plays minutes in the Premier League. But you can find Chris at CHROwen8 on Twitter. I'm at RotoZdroik. Please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Listen to our podcast as well. Let's win some bets. We're going to be 8-0 at some point this season. We can't say when it will be, but maybe it'll be this weekend. So
let's see.
Let's win some bets. Chris, enjoy your non-fasting. Enjoy your smoking birds and all that good stuff, whatever is happening over there. Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully you're getting ready for MLS season, because we're going to be cranking out all this MLS coverage in the future. But thanks, Chris. See everyone next week.
Thanks, Adam.